Aduh, sadu, sadu.
Testing, louder a bit. Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. Okay. Can you hear me at the back? Oh, okay. Thank you so much, Reggie, for the kind introduction to the topic. A very good morning to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today's topic, like Brother Jim said, will be very, very relevant because in a few more days, we will be celebrating Chinese New Year together. And most of us have done it for many, many years. But this year, hopefully, with our Dhamma understanding, we can do it differently. So the title of today's topic is Celebrating Chinese New Year, the Dhamma Way. So after being with the Dhamma for so many years, most of us should be familiar with what the Dhamma is. Then hopefully you can apply that teaching that Lord Buddha has so compassionately shared with us. As Buddhists, we are indeed very fortunate because we have these great teachings of the Buddha. And if you really make an effort to investigate into what he teaches you, you will have a lot of joy. You will have a lot of happiness within your heart. Well, this teaching is very unique. That's why I make use of this opportunity to share with you a little bit about the Buddha's teaching, so that you understand what Dhamma is, so that you know how to apply this Dhamma when it comes to living life. Today's topic is we focus on Chinese New Year celebration because Chinese New Year is very near, like Brother Jim said. And to most of us, Chinese New Year is like Brother Jim said, an occasion for joy. We look forward to the once a year reunion, everything. But there are a lot more things that is happening. So how can we cope? And how can we optimize it through an understanding so that we can apply this Dhamma understanding to help us really, really celebrate Chinese New Year in a proper way with good understanding, following the advice of the Buddha and his teaching. Essentially, the Buddha Dharma that the Buddha teach, they are very useful, very, very useful. If you want to understand life, if you want to really develop the highest human potential, this is the Dhamma that you have to pay attention to. The essence of his teaching is just the Four Noble Truths. And this Four Noble Truths, you must not underestimate what it is until you understand what they are. This Four Noble Truths that the Buddha taught, it can summarize to us all of life, not only the mundane aspect of life, the materialistic life, but also the spiritual aspect, the supramundane aspect. That's why it's very complete. The moment you understand this Four Noble Truth, you like understand the secret of life and you will know how to live. Then you can be a blessing to all of humanity. Then you will not have any more problem in life. You will understand who you are, what death is. Then you will not have any fear when it comes to confronting death and the realities of life and existence. So this Four Noble Truths, the reason why the Buddha called it Noble Truth is because they are truth that can make you noble ones when you understand them. And noble ones during the Buddha's time, they are called enlightened beings. Because only enlightened beings have all these noble qualities to project their enlightenment status. They are very noble in their understanding of life. Means all of the nature's law that governs life and existence. The five pancha niyamas, especially the spiritual law of Citta Niyama, Dhamma Niyama, and Karma Niyama. they are very, very conversant with it, and they have understood it very well. And because of this understanding, they have all the appropriate right thought, right speech, right action that comes with it. And all of the Buddha's teaching actually started off with that understanding of the nature's law that governs life and existence. Especially these three great laws: spiritual law of karma, spiritual law of mind, and the spiritual law of Dhamma, which is truth. So Dhamma is truth. The teachings of the Buddha are uniquely called Noble Truth. That's why the essence of his teaching are the Four Noble Truths. And this Four Noble Truths is very beautiful and very unique. It's because it can summarize to you all of life. And when you understand them, you really, really had a lot of joy, like I mentioned just now. And you will be able to be of great benefits to living beings. The first Noble Truth explains clearly to living beings the realities of life and existence. Most Buddhists, earlier on, I think they were quite confused, because when people ask what is the first Noble Truth, the standard answer which I receive most of the time when I went out to share is they tell me life is suffering. What do you think? Is that the first Noble Truth? That misconception has been with the Buddhist community for quite long. And even the non-Buddhists, they make use of this to sometimes discourage people from going to find out or investigate into what Buddhism is all about. He said, why you want to learn about Buddhism? They only talk about suffering, no happiness. And their noble truth is life is suffering. And quite often, you find it even in books. But the Buddha never explained the first Noble Truth that way. The Buddha said, there is a Noble Truth that clearly explains to you the prevalence of suffering. Suffering is everywhere you don't have wisdom. That is the first Noble Truth. Then the Buddha zeroed in deeper. He said, this first Noble Truth, there are eight condition or realities in life that each and every living being we need to confront if we live long enough. And when we confront them without wisdom, suffering will arise. And that is the first Noble Truth. He never said life is suffering. He said, this world is full of suffering, prevalence of suffering, if you confront this reality without wisdom. And what are these realities? The first four is very common. I think Chinese, they always quote this four, Seng Lao Bing Si in Mandarin. Means you have to confront birth, old age, sickness, and death. So these four reality, I think most of us have gone through life. Some of them had already confronted them and went through certain aspects of suffering. But how can you confront this reality if you don't develop the wisdom before you confront them? That's how people become afflicted, miserable, sorrowful. Especially disease, sickness, and death. For older people, old age is actually quite traumatic. You got situation where they have to confront various types of disease, sickness when you grow old. Your organ starts failing you. Even your memory starts failing you. They got problem like Alzheimer and all things. Then the fifth one is related to your life. As you go out into society to live life, he said you will encounter this reality of separation from loved ones. Separation from your wealth, possession, and things that you hold on to dearly. And separation can come in many ways, the Buddha said. Divorce. Untimely death, due to nature's disaster, accident. Even nowadays, especially last year, become quite common. Traveling by plane is not safe anymore. Not that safe anymore. Then you have tsunami, earthquake, and all those things. Then when economic crisis strike, or when you make a bad decision in life, your investment may suffer. Economic crisis may cause you to lose a lot of your wealth. Then sometimes you lose your job, even your career is affected. Then many things can lead to separation from things that you hold on to dearly. Especially snatch thief, robbery, and how things get destroyed during floods and all those things. Our recent flood was quite severe, and SJBA did quite a few things to help out too. Then moving on is the sixth reality, the Buddha said. As you live life, as you go into the society, whether it's within your career or whatever, is it? You have to meet up with people. When you confront or meet up with people whom you don't like, suffering can also comes about. And this reality is quite serious for people who cannot cope with their job situation. Even within the family, you got a lot of child abuse and all those things. Then even in school, in environment, in society, where the bullies and all those things, even on the road, it's not safe. Then there is another issue about separation, which I forgot to mention, is relationship failure. There's a Chinese New Year, you go back for reunion, you will meet up with your loved ones and all those things. So this relationship thing actually affects many people. Separation in relationship can happen when there is a divorce proceeding going on, when the relationship doesn't work. Even if you are not married, like youngster, boyfriend, girlfriend relationship, if they decide to separate, one of them will be jilted. Then it can be very traumatic to confront all this reality. The seventh one is, the Buddha said, when you cannot get what you want, when expectation are not met. All this will bring about unhappiness, leading to suffering, misery. Then, of course, the eighth reality is about the meditative understanding. The Buddha summarizes it. All of these seven realities can be summarized into just one reality. He said, in short, it is due to our inability to understand who we are, what we are. Our self-delusion that conditions us to grasp onto this so-called human being, which the Buddha redefined as the five aggregates of form and mind. The grasping, the holding on to this five aggregates of form and mind deludedly, not knowing that they are impermanent, they bring about suffering. And they are not you, empty, non-self. Suffering will arise. That's why the final summary talks about upadana khandas. Khandas are the aggregates. The grasping aggregate, the Buddha said, are suffering. That's why if you become enlightened, this aggregate become pure aggregate. They are non-grasping. Because the enlightened being got no more delusion, especially self-delusion, sakkayaditti. So this first noble truth, if you were to reflect, the Buddha said, all these eight conditions, they are related to your life. All of mundane living, they are all covered under this first noble truth reality. Yeah. Whatever you can think of, when you go through life, these eight realities are there. How can you cope and confront them so that you can still remain peaceful and happy? Then the Buddha continued, he said, after knowing this reality, this danger of not developing the understanding, he went on to explain to you clearly under the second noble truth. He said, there is a cause behind all this suffering, is it? And what is the cause? Again, in the final summary, he has defined your ignorance. The main one is self-delusion that conditions you to grasp, cling, and hold. That's why craving is the cause of suffering. When you crave through your form and mind, when you desire, when you attach, cling, and hold on to so many things that your mind come to perceive through your perception, through your idea, your thought process, through whatever that you become conscious of. That's why you have your loved one, your property, your wealth, your career, your possession, everything. So this cause is craving, born of delusion. So the moment you understand what suffering is and the cause behind, the Buddha said, you should develop a type of understanding to cope with your life so that you can manage your life better. When you know what suffering is and the cause behind, you still don't want to deal with it, then it's your choice. Then you are what you are. Like the Buddha said, karma will decide. So if you allow yourself to continue to be heedless and go through life without this Noble Truth understanding, you will be afflicted. You will suffer. But the good point is the third Noble Truth, the Buddha mentioned it very clearly, he said, there is a Noble Truth that talks about the possibility of enlightenment in the here and the now. Nibbana can be realized, he said. That's why he says suffering need not be. Suffering can end. Cessation of suffering leading to the enlightenment, Nibbana, can be realized in the here and the now before you die. And this brings about a great relief to all Buddhists who has this special teaching. Then the Buddha didn't really stop with the third Noble Truth. He even go on to the fourth Noble Truth. He said, there is a Noble Eightfold Path. If you cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path under the fourth Noble Truth, it will lead to the end of all suffering. It will lead to the enlightenment in the here and the now. Then there is no more problem with life. This Noble Eightfold Path is what you need to focus on. That's why just now in your this Buddha Puja book, actually this one is very well compiled. Page 12. I think Brother Jim and the wife, Sister Engby, they read to you the contemplation. I will read to you again. Let us remain seated before the Buddha image in meditation posture with our mind now filled with metta. Let us have a few moments of silent contemplation. This is where the Dhamma is. You can apply this on Chinese New Year. You become beautiful. Beautiful. Really beautiful. The first one is, he said, in this life and our future life, may we continue to take refuge in the Buddha Dhamma and the Sangha and follow the Noble Eightfold Path that will eventually lead us to final liberation from samsara. See? This is the fourth Noble Truth. But you must go in and investigate into this Noble Eightfold Path. What is this Noble Eightfold Path? How come it's so powerful, so unique? Noble Eightfold Path, like I explained, they are the noble qualities of the enlightened one. First path factor is right view. Right view is right understanding of life. When you understand the secret of life, the laws that governs life and existence, especially the Panchaniyamas, the five universal order of nature. The first two are scientific law, Uttuniyama and Bijaniyama. The next three are spiritual law, karma, law of karma, karma niyama, then law of the mind, chitta niyama, then law of truth, dhamma niyama. So this Noble Eightfold Path is very beautiful. When you have right view, right understanding, you know how to live because you will not be deluded by what this world is all about. You understand they follow this law. You only need to understand this law. That's why you cultivate contemplative wisdom leading to the meditative wisdom. These are the second turning and third turning wisdom that the Buddha taught under his teaching, Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. Then from this right view, it will allow you to understand life, especially law of karma. The Buddha said we are all born our karma, head to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of karma. So we cannot blame anybody else for our life situation. And when we understand clearly that this law of karma is so powerful, we are each and every one of us, without exception, we are born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are every moment, every instant because of karma. What must you do? You must take care of karma. To take care of karma, we have to avoid all evil, do good. And this is the advice of the Buddha. That's how the teaching come about. Then to develop wisdom, we have to purify the mind. So this first right view with regards to the law of karma already so powerful. Then how do we avoid evil? The Buddha said you renew your precept. You keep your five precepts. People who violate precepts, they actually are evil people. That's why they will develop evil karma, evil action, speech, and thought process. These are called heedless people who don't have heedfulness, don't have right understanding and wisdom. And because of that, they will fall. Because karmically, the Buddha said, you reap what you sow. Do good begets good, do evil begets evil. If you are heedless and have the evil roots, you will develop all of the action, speech, and thought process which are evil and negative. And this is the result of your karmic accumulation. And when you come and take birth, every moment, every instant, you are born of that karmic nature, heir to it, conditions, and you are what you are because of it. That's why your life is miserable, and you cannot blame anybody. So this first right view will bring about the right understanding for you to live life. That's why the Buddha said after that you have to develop the second Noble Eightfold Path factor, which is right thought, right speech, right action. So enlightened beings are not only very, very noble in the way they understand life. From that understanding, they have very beautiful thought process. That's why they are very noble in the way they arise their thought, in the way they communicate and speak to you, and in the way they act and live their life. That's why Noble Eightfold Path is all about right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. No more negativity. And Noble Eightfold Path is the advice of the Buddha. When you avoid all evil, do good, means you have right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. Incapable of negativity. Then you have the right effort to constantly purify your thought. Abandon the evil thought. The wrong thought, wrong action, wrong speech, and wrong livelihood that has arisen. Then the right effort to prevent them from arising when you have mindfulness and understanding of life. Then the right effort to bring about all the right thought, right speech, and right action, and right livelihood that are still not in you. Then the final right effort is to refine upon all this right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood. So Chinese New Year, you can apply this Dhamma, you can do this, you will be of great blessing to all your loved ones and to everybody that you come to meet and encounter. Then after that, of course, is the meditative, right mindfulness and right samadhi to develop the wisdom so that you can free your mind from all suffering. So Noble Eightfold Path is very powerful, very useful. That's why it can lead to the end of all suffering. That's why you have this dedication of what they call determination to contemplate that this is what you want to do in this life and in all your future life. May you always take refuge with the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha and follow the Noble Eightfold Path that will eventually lead you to the final liberation from samsara. Then after that, you say, along the way, may we be blessed with good health, happiness, success in life, with good family, relatives, and friends until our attainment of Nibbana. May we all to be well and happy. So this one sounds very familiar, isn't it? Chinese New Year greeting, isn't it? These are your wishes, isn't it? But how do you really, really make it a reality? How can you convert your whatever greetings and wishes so that it can become a living reality? And to do that, you must know the Dhamma. That's why, before I forget, New Year is coming. I would like to wish you all a happy, prosperous, and good New Year. So you know why I use the word good on the third one. You all normally receive New Year card. Happy and prosperous New Year. You want to be happy, you want to be prosperous. But the word good is very important. Because nowadays, as you grow older, you worry about your health. They say, got money, no use. No health, what for? So they say, good health. Then, good life. Then, good career. Good promotion. Good family unit. That's why that word good will cover the balance of things that you really wish for on Chinese New Year. So it's an occasion for joy and greeting. Chinese New Year being a very, very important celebration for Chinese all over the world. So that's why it brings about a lot of understanding if we have the Dhamma with us. Then we can do this with clarity of mind. We don't have to be like before, deludedly believe what our forefathers tell us or what has been passed down from tradition. I will elaborate on that in a little while. Let me finish this one first. Your dedication and your contemplation. The third one is, may the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha bless and protect you. So this one you wish for. May we realize the truth in all its aspects and the path in all its stages. May we attain peace, the supreme bliss of Nibbana. So if you really aspire seriously, you have to put into practice what you aspire. There are three phases of Dhamma. The first phase is about learning about the teaching, Pariyatti. You learn about the doctrine or the teaching of the Buddha. Once you understood what this teaching is, you have to move on to phase two. Phase two is Patipatti. Patipatti is you put the Dhamma or the teaching into practice in daily life so that you can make it a living reality. And that is what I want you to do. That is the most important. That's why this Chinese New Year, hopefully this talk can help you. Then the third one is your reward. Pativeda, the Buddha said. If you cultivate the Dhamma and develop the ability to become enlightened, then the fruition of it, the result of that practice, your hard work, you will be rewarded in the third phase of Dhamma. Pativeda is the fruition of your hard work. Is the reward of what you have developed sincerely with the faith, with the diligence, and the sincerity. And once you awaken, you can live the life of a noble one, an enlightened one. Your life will be very different from before. Character-wise, personality-wise, you will be completely transformed. And you will have that type of wisdom that is so unique. And your mind has transformed until it's so heedful, no more heedless. There is clarity, there is peace, there is always joy within because of that understanding. No more suffering. No more suffering means what? Not only physical suffering, no. Mental suffering also no more. You don't have to confront any more fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation. Whatever happened to the world or this physical body and form, you are always at peace, happy, beautiful. And that is the third phase. That's why you can develop the understanding of the Dhamma and awaken, you will be the most beautiful living being on this earth. You can live life to the fullest. You can experience all of the beauties and wonders of life, and you can be of great blessings to all of humanity and mankind. And everybody you come into contact with, including your loved ones, your parents, and all those friends and colleagues, they will really, really feel you and appreciate who you are and what you are. And you can really give them a lot of hope and confidence. And they will have a lot of gratitude towards you. So this is the contemplation part. Then dedication. You all continue. The leader say, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma, let us dedicate ourselves to the Triple Gem. We dedicate ourselves to the Triple Gem, to the Buddha, the Fully Enlightened One, to the Dhamma, the teachings which we follow, to the Sangha, the Enlightened Disciple of the Blessed One. These Triple Gem are very important because if you have refuge, you will develop the affinity to connect whenever they are around, whenever you arise. Then you dedicate, may no ideal word be spoken by us. Chinese New Year, keep this in mind. Yeah, this is your delegation. Don't go and simply frivolously comment and do all those heedless things. May no unwholesome thought disturb our mind. If you can keep to that, this Chinese New Year, it will be a good Chinese New Year for you. Then to the observant of the five precepts, we dedicate ourselves. You should abstain from killing, causing harm to fellow living beings. Keep your precept not to violate any of the sexual misconducting and not to tell lie and all those things. And intoxicant, I think some of you find it very difficult on Chinese New Year. I leave it to you. It is up to you, your life. Then to practice. To the practice of meditation, we dedicate ourselves. To the development of wisdom, we dedicate ourselves. To the attainment of enlightenment, we dedicate ourselves. For the happiness of all beings, we dedicate ourselves. For the benefits of all beings, with restraint in body, speech, and mind, we dedicate ourselves. So these are the things you can do. You have the Dhamma, and you are beautiful. Then now, coming back to Chinese New Year, before I forget, you look at the flower arrangement. I think it's in preparation for Chinese New Year. The lotus flower is very beautiful, and there are two sets behind the statue, Rupang. You look at it, so serene, so beautiful. And the other bouquet, the next two yellow ones in front, I think two of the Kayanamita from my side, they came and helped. Sister Joyce and Anne, I think. Then those tiny flowers below the statue, they are also done up by them. So we should rejoice in this wholesomeness. People who actually have this heart and faith to help bring about joy. The offering of flower has a lot of meaning. Like just now you chant in your puja. It reminds us of impermanence so that we make haste to cultivate. Just like this body, the flower is ephemeral, impermanent. Sooner or later it will decay. It goes the way of nature. Then when you come and make offering, pay your respect, develop all the wholesomeness, you have a lot of joy and your mind is very peaceful, very serene. And you get to actually benefit from all this beautiful offering. We actually spend a lot of time gathering the flower, then arrange it, then put it in proper, appropriate formation. Then bring it all the way from the house and again rearrange it. So we should thank them. We should rejoice with them. Then you should thank SJBA for providing such beautiful, wholesome condition for you to start your day before the Chinese New Year. Then after that, we come back to Chinese New Year. What do you do on Chinese New Year? It's an occasion for joy, yes, I agree. You also have a lot of greeting, isn't it? Where you exchange greetings and Chinese New Year gift. And this tradition is very beautiful, very useful. It will allow you to cultivate and practice generosity. When you have gratitude towards somebody who has helped you or who has been your good friend, who are very sincere, or your relative or what, you want to show your appreciation. And when you want to thank your parent for their sacrifice, for everything that they have done for you since you are born until now, where they care for you, they love you. So Chinese New Year is a good occasion for you to repay whatever gratitude and love that you want to repay. This act of generosity is very wholesome. It is a meritorious action. It not only brings about joy and happiness, it brings about harmony, it brings about merits. That you can look forward to that happy state of mind that will actually bring forth the blessing for the one who give and the one who receive. Yeah, when they receive, they rejoice. Rejoicing is also a meritorious action. Then this type of tradition or culture and exchange of greeting can bring about a lot of economic activity for the country. Anasana. That's why Chinese people are very unique. They got a lot of festival. Then we are willing to spend on Chinese New Year because it's an occasion for us to actually do what we want to do for the year. Then we set our goal, our New Year resolution, our New Year aspiration. Then we write down, we have clear focus on what we want to do for the year ahead. And these are beautiful, but you have to do it mindfully. Then you're supposed to clean up your house once a year. And I thought, that one is very good. You throw away a lot of rubbish. Then you decorate, and you have a lot of joy. Because you want to present your house as a very nice place for people to come. Then, at the same time, your children, you can get them to understand what this thing is all about. This is about filial piety. This is about helping the parents to do all this simple thing once a year so that they learn. Because in future, they will have to do all this. Then you can transfer your skill, especially parents who are good at cooking, making cookies and all this thing. You can transfer this skill over to them. Then you can also train them out how you go and develop all the marketing and preparation for Chinese New Year. Then the more important aspect of Chinese New Year is reunion. What is reunion? Once a year you gather. It's like an occasion for joy. Where you look forward to see your brothers and sisters and your loved one and your friend in your hometown after a period of 1 year break. So on this occasion, if you have Dhamma, Noble Eightfold Path, you can be a blessing to them. It is also a period where we have holiday, like this year, because Chinese New Year is Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday is holiday. So you can have one stretch, then you don't have to rush. The Buddha said, if you are heedful and mindful, if you have the Dhamma, you are not only a blessing to all, you are a blessing to yourself too. Especially when you travel on Chinese New Year to go back to your hometown. You have to be very heedful, very mindful. Because when you are very heedful and very mindful, you protect yourself and you protect others from getting into trouble. That's why if you have Noble Eightfold Path, you will not be violent and unreasonable on Chinese New Year. It's supposed to be an occasion for joy and happiness. Why you want to spoil your festival over just one very petty incident and get angry over your children or what happened on the traffic, especially traffic jam? It tests your patience. It tests your Dhamma cultivation. If you don't have all this virtue and what they call cultivation, chances is your habitual tendency will arise, erupt. Then you find it very difficult to become happy, to be at peace. Because, like the first noble truth reality, when you cannot get what you want, you become miserable, you become unhappy. In Hokkien, they call mang zhang. Very bunt. So all these are aspects of Dhamma where you can learn. Then reunion is also an occasion where you come into contact with each other, have joy, and to have good meal. Like our brother Jim said, you look forward to the special food and cooking, the cookies and everything. there is an occasion to relax because you are on holiday. So you have joy, you have good food, you relax. Then normally you update each other, correct or not? And when you update each other, you should actually have a good mind. You update each other so that you can gather who are the loved ones that need help, that need assistance. Then you should actually initiate. Since we are all already much better off, why not we help whomsoever that is in need? Well, this was a practice in my family. Every time somebody need help or what, we will pull together, then we will help. And it has helped them tremendously. Because I got 3 sisters, actually. 6 brothers. Very big family. 2 of the sisters are with us. The other one, because of certain situations, circumstances, when we were young, upon birth, 3-4 days later, my grandmother insists that my mother should give it away because in the olden days, they don't like to have daughters. They like son. So after the last one, also daughter, she said, why not we give away too many? So that was the condition. My mother was reluctant, but no choice. But her good karma, in a way, as she grew up, before he was about to get married, he heard about the, you know, small town, you cannot keep secret one. He heard a lot about our family, that he was from our family. So somehow the condition arise and he managed to contact us and we actually accept her back. Because we have to explain why it has to be that way. Then she was full of joy and she became part of our family. Of my 3 sisters, 2 of them are married, 1 not married. The 2 married, I don't know what you call it, karma or what, I don't know. Well, both my brother-in-law passed away quite young. 1 at about 50, 1 about 58, I think. 1 of them is stroke, 1 of them is cancer because of stress and all those things. Because they don't have the Dhamma, pitiful. So, these 2 sisters, especially the last one that we gave away, I tell you, he was almost contemplating suicidal. Then my brother called me. I said, don't worry, I will fly back that night. Then I talked to her. Because we went to the hospital, you know what the doctor told us? I'm not worried about your brother-in-law, because he's already gone. You know? I'm worried about your sister-in-law. Because she is like completely crazy. Because she got 4 or 5 children, and they were all very young. And she was not working, dependent on him. Very traumatic. First noble truth reality. So because of that, I went back and talked to her. I say, you need to be strong. I know now you are not in the mood to listen to anything. But life is life. I said, the reality is in the here and the now. I say, you look at me. I said, please. And she has faith in me because we helped her earlier on, during Chinese New Year. Yeah, every time any of this sister or family member who has problem, Chinese New Year, we make it a point. We look after the whatever interest. Then after that, we will provide the financial aid and all those things and help to sort things out. So I told her, you don't have to worry about anything. Even your husband passed away, there is no difference. You have to be strong, I say. Your children depend on you. Out of love and compassion for them, you have to be strong. I say, if you are also weak, what will happen to your children? Financial part, you don't have to worry. It is a small matter. We can take it up very easily. Then do what you have to do, I say. Check and see whether he got insurance or not. Then check and see what other thing you need to resolve. There is a will or not. Then I say, you don't have to think about anything. Now you calm yourself down, then we have a proper, what they call, meeting to help you resolve everything. You don't have a career, you don't worry. We will teach you how to actually develop it. Because brother, sister got a lot of opportunity to help you. Then later on, she turned around so beautifully. Then she became more happy then. before the husband passed away, because everything fall into place and the children now all graduated already. Yeah. I think the youngest one not yet, sorry. There are two more youngest one not yet. So these are the things you can do on Chinese New Year. When you have generosity, kindness, understanding, and when you can make a difference to people's lives, you should. Not necessarily only your loved ones or what. Yeah, this is Dhamma, Nasana. Do good because good, do evil because evil. When you have people in this life, karmically, you actually receive this wholesomeness. And in future life, who knows, you may be the person who has this problem. And because of your karmic inheritance parami, people will help you. That's why all this you have to understand. Whatever goodness and wholesomeness you do will come back to you. They are your karmic inheritance. Then when it comes to traveling long distance, you have to be very careful. If you are driving, you make sure you check your car's condition, understand not? Your tires, your engine servicing, especially your battery. You don't halfway stranded in the highway, and it can be pretty dangerous. Then your tire balancing and all those things. Make sure that they are in proper condition. You have time, do it earlier on. Do it early, 1 or 2 weeks early, or the best is a month ahead. So that if there is anything problem, any problem with the servicing, you can still bring it back to the workshop. Because after today, you got only Monday to do. At least you send for check. Then not so bad. Make sure the essential things are there. Then drive safely. Drive heedfully. Like the Buddha said, when you have heedfulness, mindfulness, you protect yourself and you protect others, because you don't cause complication and accident. Then Chinese New Year can also be an occasion for you to learn to practice your right speech, right action, and right thought, and right livelihood. You can check whether you are patient enough or not, whether you still gossip or not, whether you still have the harsh speech or not, whether you still backbite or not, whether you still heedlessly overeat and frivolously say all those things or not. You can check with mindfulness, with heedfulness. That's why you have to put the Dhamma into cultivation. You have to train your mind to be mindful, to be aware, to be heedful, so that you can see your mental intention behind clearly. If there's any evil roots of greed, selfishness, hatred, anger, envy, jealousy, root them out. If there's still any fear, any delusion, root them out. Then have goodness of heart, have kindness, speak to people kindly, gently, pleasantly, so that people can feel you, that you have changed, completely changed. Many of our Kayanamita has changed tremendously. Just by understanding simple teaching, like Noble Eightfold Path. When you have right view, your life changes. When you know how to abide by that right view, to avoid all evil, do good, following the advice of the Buddha, and to train your mind, to cultivate and purify your mind, your life will change. Because when you avoid all evil, do good, this is transforming your karma, understand not? From negative to positive. Then when you cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, you are incapable of evil, you are all the time accumulating wholesomeness and merits. Then you have your religious routine, you come to the temple like once a week to do your puja. This 2 hours of Dhamma talk and puja is tremendous help to you. You develop a lot of meritorious action, the 10 meritorious action, almost all you do. And you develop a lot of blessing, a lot of good energy, a lot of happiness. Your mind state are so beautiful. Instead of your normal mind state at home, worry about this, worry about that, stress out on this, for at least this 2 hours or so, you can be peaceful. You can be happy. You can have joy. You can silence your mind. You can forget about problems. So this is what Dhamma can help you. Then for certain Chinese, our Chinese New Year tradition, I remember during the olden day, my mother used to bring us to the temple. it's good. At least once a year you go to the temple, yeah, and pay respect to the Buddhas, the Bodhisattva. And sometimes, of course, my mother went to Chinese temple, they have the dainties too. Then what she do? She asks for blessing on your behalf, understand not? Good health, good luck, and all those things, good career. You know? You don't know. Sometimes they go and help you to what they say, kao chim, huh? The fool. Although it can be a bit superstitious, but they have good heart, understand not? You should actually appreciate what your parent has done for you. Mm. So Chinese New Year, certain culture, Chinese culture, you can develop understanding with the Dhamma, it can still be maintained and it can be of great benefits. Especially the exchange of greetings and food. I haven't actually covered one part. When you exchange greeting, like I say, we wish you a happy, prosperous and good New Year. Then like you ask for good health, ask for prosperity. How can you materialize it? If you have the Dhamma, you understand. You must plant the right appropriate causes and condition. Then you will reap the fruit. Like the Mahayana has this teaching, I remember Xuanhua Sanglin. He said, karma is about 种因结果, 种善因结善果, 种恶因结恶果. Then his advice is, 千万不要种错因结错果. So the translation is something like that. It's a law of karma, is very simple. You reap what you sow. You plant the seed of virtue, wholesomeness, goodness, you will reap the fruition of wholesomeness, goodness, and virtue. You plant the seed of evil, you will receive the fruition of evil deeds. Then your life will be afflicted, miserable. Living beings need to be very heedful and careful, is it? Never allow yourself to plant the wrong causes and conditions so that you will reap the wrong fruition. 种错因结错果. So when you understand this, you will be very fearful of committing evil. Then you realize the importance of training your mind to be ever mindful in daily life. This is what heedfulness is all about. Heedfulness is not about heedfulness when you are in a meditation retreat, when you are meditating in a formal meditation. That one is not enough. It is in daily life. That's why the four foundations of mindfulness, the teaching is very clear. Sati sampajana means mindfulness and clear comprehension of all action or movement in the present moment, in the midst of life itself. If in the midst of life itself you cannot be heedful, you haven't started the real meditation. This is the real meditation. Because sense door, our sixth sense door, we have five physical senses and the mind. Combined, you have six sense door. When you are living life, you are active. You are not like in a retreat, in a formal meditation posture. Active means all your senses are open, wide open. The sense data are all coming in. And sense door consciousness arise and pass away so fast. And your mind, if it's not heedful, not mindful, not trained, don't have the wisdom, yoniso manasikara, you cannot deal with life. You cannot even attend to life. You don't even know what is happening. You are all the while lost in thought, preoccupied your thinking, your problem, worrying, your reaction. Then you think a lot. You are hardly aware. You are hardly mindful. You hardly have any space between thought. There is no inner peace, inner well-being, inner clarity. When you think, you cannot have clarity. You can only do one thing at a time in life. Either you are aware, mindful of the moment, the reality, without thought, or you are lost in thought. Lost in thought means what? You are preoccupied with what you are thinking. Then as you think, you become emotional, you stir. That's why you are preoccupied with all the emotion, with all the thought process, with all the views and opinion that you express, and the chattering inside, the commenting. And this is heedlessness, the Buddha said. Why must you live like that way? Why can't you just silence and develop the peace within and have clarity? Then live. Live means what? To live life is to be with the moment in life, to experience all of the beauty and wonders of that moment. Because when you have present moment awareness, when you have heedfulness, your thought doesn't move. Then that moment you are peaceful. And because you don't have thought, it doesn't project. There is no fear, no worry, no anxiety. That is peace. And that is true living, because you experience the moment for what it is. But when you are heedlessly lost in thought, moment to moment life passes by. This is the only reality in life. But you never leave that moment. You are too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life. That's why you hardly have any moment of peace. If you live that way, then very difficult. The Buddha said you are heedless. And Dhammapada verse 21 say very clearly, heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. You don't have spiritual life. Is that the way you want to live your life? And when you are heedless, you will suffer. You will become miserable. Because spiritually, there is no window for you to actually cultivate and to become enlightened. So the most dangerous thing is to become heedless. That's why the Buddha, before he passed away, he just told the monk one last reminder. Apamadena sampadeta. Apamadena sampadeta means he reminded the monk, is it, strive on with heedfulness. Be heedful. Do not be heedless. So this is very clear-cut message. So make haste in understanding the Dhamma through pariyatti, learning of the teaching. Then from the understanding, put it into practice. If you have not done it, don't worry. You still got time. Make it your New Year resolution. Then it can bring forth the condition so that from now onward, as you develop this understanding of the Dhamma, you will be able to actually put it into practice. Then when you have that understanding, you can live that life. Then you can be rewarded through the third phase of Dhamma Pativeda. So this is what I want to share with you all today. I hope it's useful to you. And I'd like to wish you again. May you all have a peaceful, happy, prosperous, and good New Year ahead. So I rejoice.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
You got any question, you can ask. Okay.
Any questions you'd like to pose to Brother Gil? If not, we thank Brother Teo for his wonderful Dhamma talk this morning, reminding us or sharing with us on how we should celebrate our Chinese New Year the Dhamma way, that in the midst of our celebration, in the midst of our joy and happiness, a reunion with relatives and friends, we should still remember to develop, as Brother Teo say, to cultivate ourselves along the path as taught by the Buddha, the Noble Eightfold Path, right speech, right action, and so on and so forth, Sila Samadhi Panya, and also to cultivate ourselves and also our children in respect, in gratitude, and so on and so forth. We thank Brother Teo for his very good sharing. And also on behalf of Subang Jaya Buddhist Association, I take this opportunity to thank all of you for your support and for your contribution all this while to SJPA to build our Vihara to what we are today. In fact, many of you have contributed, have supported the Vihara and also the Buddha Sasana in a very spontaneous manner. My brother Joe mentioned this morning, there are so beautiful, so many beautiful flowers at the altar, which also is a surprise to me. We never ask, but the people who come and do all these things so spontaneously.
Yeah, voluntarily.
In fact, when you look around SJPA, sometimes you see furniture of different sizes, different design. All these people just give like that. You know, we didn't ask actually. But people come forward with the heart willing to contribute to the Vihara. We thank you for all this. Look forward.
It's their generosity, because they have gratitude towards what the society has actually done and helped so many people. Especially your SJBA, Brother Jim, Brother Suyan, they all, and the whole community. They have done so much work behind the scene and helped so many people. And it's really a great Buddhist society. So hopefully with the new building, they can do more things. And with your support, definitely SJBA will continue to grow. Especially under Brother Jim for so many years. You have seen him very long. I was told he holds the record. He beat Dr. Mardil as the Prime Minister for 21 years or 20 years. He almost 23rd year. 24th year. See? That is That shows his dedication. I mean, he really committed. He's not somebody who after a few years, I am boring enough, pass it over. This one, because he did it very well, and people really want him to continue to lead. So we should rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Thank you, Bhatia, for kind compliments. But actually, 6 years ago, we changed the constitution to limit the terms of the president. This year was supposed to be my last term.
So
but this year, we received the news from the state government that they give us a piece of land next door for us to build a temple expansion. And also there are a number of our members who committed themselves in a financial contribution. Once we receive our tax exemption, they will give us all this money. So of that, a number of members, including our brother James and many others, asked me to stay on until the temple is completed.
Very good. Okay.
We do it together. Anyway, we do it together. But I must say that we truly appreciate the kind contribution from our members and devotees who do all these things for SJPA without asking for recognition. Many people, they just do it quietly. Surprisingly, I think if you come to SJPA, you see some of our members sitting somewhere very quiet, you know. Actually, they are very successful people, but they are very quiet, very low profile, very humble. But when the occasion needs, they will come forward to help us, you know.
Yes.
And they don't ask for recognition, no name, don't need any appreciation. You know, but anyway, we appreciate what you have done. Come this 28th of February, we have announced just now, we are going to celebrate Chinese New Year in SJPA on the 28th night, 7:15 p.m. With a simple dinner and also simple program. All these years, we have been doing it in a very simple way, low profile and simple manner in SJPA. But one of the things that we did is because we bring in these old folks from the old folks' home, usually from Cihang, Chambaka. And they are very happy to come to SJPA every year. In fact, they're looking forward to come to SJPA. I have met them recently on two different occasions, one dinner and one lunch, and they recognized me. Actually, this what they call the old folks is invited by Brother Steven Gua, and some of our members have been taking good care of them. But somehow they recognized me during the lunch and the dinner recently, and they have been asking, brother, please arrange Chinese New Year celebration and invite us to come. We are very happy to come to SJPA.
That's why people recall the joy. Then they will really appreciate. There's one more thing I almost missed out. The Buddha, when he was asked, what is the highest protection to protect you from danger and everything? Do you know what is it or not? What is the highest protection? Not Kung Fu, no? Kung Fu may not protect you. The Buddha just answer very simple. Is it your virtue? V-I-R-T-U-E-S, virtue. If you have virtue, you are very blessed. You are very well protected. And with the Dhamma that I explained just now, you will understand what is virtue. Virtue is goodness, wholesomeness. This is all your good merits, understand now, that brings about good karma. When your karma is very good, that karmic nature will protect you, understand? Where the Buddha said you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma. And you are what you are because of your karma. That's why you must make haste in cultivating goodness, wholesomeness, virtue. Whatever wholesomeness that you can do, like generosity, gratitude, respect, sincerity, kindness, pleasantness, you should do more and more, more and more. Then it will build up your virtue, and you will be very blessed, and your life will be very good. So to have Dhamma is to have virtue, to have goodness. When you can avoid all evil and do good, you develop virtue. That is the advice of the Buddha. Then you must meditate to develop wisdom, the last part, to complement your virtue. Otherwise, materialistic success alone does not guarantee freedom from suffering. Because when you confront the First Noble Truth reality, without wisdom, virtue alone may not be enough. Because this is suffering inflicted by your own self-delusion. It's nothing to do with external factor. Asana. So this type of suffering, you need wisdom to root it out and resolve. That's why you have to meditate, purify your mind. That's why the Buddha's advice is threefold. Avoid all evil. To do it, you keep your precept. Develop mindfulness to see your mental intention behind. Then cultivate wholesomeness, goodness, virtue. This second one is very important. Then the last one is meditate to purify your mind. So you can just do this simple thing. You have the Dhamma. Then you will be beautiful. Then you will be a blessing to all. Yeah. Okay? So with this, I thank you.
Yeah, once again, thank you, Brother Teo. And also remember on the 8th of March, 9:30 in the morning, please come and join us for groundbreaking ceremony. Despite the very short notice, because we actually received the building plan approval only in the middle of January. The letter was dated end of December, actually, but we actually received it in the middle of January. So we have to rush. We have to rush to finalize with the contract, the consultants, on the appointment of contractor, which we have finally did. And then we made the arrangement for this groundbreaking ceremony on the 8th of March because we need to rush. You know that 1st April is launching of the GST. The GST will be effective on 1st of March, 1st of April. So we need to do a lot of things before 1st of April. Try to minimize the impact of GST. But of course, we also apply for exemption from GST, but not too sure. There's no precedent, there's no rules now on a GST exemption. But we did put in the application for GST exemption as well. But just to be safe, we try to do as much as we can before the 1st of April. So in the meantime, we have invited the Mandir Besar, the senior ESCO member, Datuk Teng Chan Kim, YB Yen Yong, YTP of MPSJ, to come and join us for this celebration. But most important of all, of course, we invite the various members of the Mahasangha, including our Chemiat Siado, Siado Ujanaka Biwamsa. I'm not too sure you can come or not from Burma for this, groundbreaking ceremony. We will invite our this Venerable Nyan Ramsey to come back. He supposed to conduct a retreat in Taiwan. So we specifically invited him to come back. Of course, we invite the Chief Reverend Sanankaran Akamathera and so on and so forth. So please book your date, 8th of March, remember, and come and join us for this celebration. And once again, I take this opportunity to wish all of you a happy, healthy, successful New Year. We now invite Brother Ken Kun to lead us in the sharing of merits, the merits accumulated Odiswa, with all sentient beings.
Yeah. Okay. You compose your mind, huh? Develop the calm mind with the faith. Then we recall to mind all of the wholesomeness that we have developed over the past 1 hour and a half or so, through your puja. All of the meritorious action that you have done, your respect to the Buddha, Dhamma, the Sangha, then your renewal of 5 precepts. All of the reverential salutation, taking of refuge, listening to Dhamma talks, straightening your view, rejoicing. Then now we will do the transfer of merit, sharing some merit. Then you invoke the power of merits to arise the aspiration for you to avoid all evil. Meet up with the wise and enlightened one so that Nibbana can be realized as soon as possible. I will now chant it in Pali. Sharing of merits to the devas. Akasata ca bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anemoditwa cirang rakan tu loka sasana itta wata ca amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anemodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo imin menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo Iminang punyang kamina Mami bala samagamo Satang samagamo hotu Yawa nivana patiya Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Respect mindfully the Lord Buddha. Buddhang Pujemi.
Buddhang Pujemi. Dhammang Pujemi. Sanghang Pujemi.